Endless meetings where no one pays attention. My goodness, I miss corporate life. The only thing I really miss about that is direct deposit, but life is good. And despite the fact we're covering some things, you can clearly hear some frustration in my voice, mine being Charlie Harper. Sully is not feeling well today, so I'm sitting in behind him. I am, at the end of the day, an optimist. If I wasn't an optimist, there are many other things I could be doing right now, both professionally and just with my spare time, than to beat my head into the wall and try to make people that don't want to agree with me agree with me. But I believe that country is important. I believe that party is important. I believe that God is important and faith is important. And we've always put those in the right order of perspective of at least in speech, saying it's God, country, party. And we're at a point right now where the Republican Party is really at a point where it needs some self-reflection. Just absolutely has to look around. And I've luckily have never been in a 12-step program, mainly because Daddy taught me, he didn't raise any quitters. But the first step is you've got to acknowledge you've got a problem. And the Republican Party right now, when you have a candidate that is erratic on every statement of his own, that has spent large parts of his campaign wanting to just absolutely obliterate the First Amendment, both on freedom of religion as well as the things he's saying he wants to do to go after the press that write bad things about him. You might not like the media, but if you believe that politicians without an objective media are why we have Barack Obama, the things that have not been said about vetting this president and giving him a total pass on everything, if you think that's what a press is supposed to be, not just to point your agenda, the press's job is to be critical of you, period. That it is to be skeptical, it is to be critical regardless if you're in party or not. And one of the many problems that Republicans have set up is instead of demanding a free and fair press and trying to influence that, and again, it's hard to do, we've set up parallel distribution channels of news. And so we now have Fox News. We have lots of websites we can go to that will give us not only a right-leaning slant on news that's coming out, but we can get our own flavor of it. So you can go to websites that will be friendly to, again, if you're a Marco Rubio voter, you can find those. If you're a Ted Cruz voter, you can go there. Andrew Breitbart has to be rolling in his grave right now at what is being done under his name on Breitbart.com. And Breitbart has welcomed a whole host of abject bullies in there that are doing nothing but try to shout people down and actually go beyond that with a level of vitriol that has gotten out of writing. And I'm going to stop that right there because I'm not going to get into someone else's issue in sandbox. But you need to be watching what's going on very closely in forms of right-wing media. But we've decided that again, is a symptom and it's not the problem. And Republicans need to keep digging down and trying to find out what the problem is, and it's multiple ones. And I'm going to hit a few of them during the rest of the time we have left in this show, and I won't promise it'll be a comprehensive list. I frankly was on TV last night until almost midnight, got home at 1, and got up this morning and had a little bit of time to try to handle the stuff I was doing and other people's reaction as well as prepare for this show. And so I put some thoughts down of where these problems are, but we have to admit, if you believe there is a problem in the Republican Party, go look in the mirror because it probably starts with you, and I'm including myself in that. I spent roughly the last decade of my life as a blogger, and for the first 3 years, I had no idea who my audience was, and the next 3 years, I was trying to figure out what I'd gotten myself into. And during that second set of 3 years where I really had time to figure it out, one of the things I figured out is that we could always get page views and attentions if we were attacking the people we had elected as Republicans. And there was a lot of credibility given to me, specifically by people on the left, because they deemed me reasonable because I was willing to disagree with Republicans. And we have the same thing on the Republican side. When Joe Lieberman was attacking Democrats as a Democrat, we thought him the reasonable senator. The reasonable person of the opposition is always the one that will agree with you. But as soon as you don't, you find out how reasonable these people think you are when you fall back in line and agree with a position that they don't. But What I found out in talking with a good friend of mine, and I hope to write a column about this because he's one of the many that are retiring, because a lot of the elected officials are just fed up with this at this point, and for good reason, because they sign up, and specifically the state legislature, we pay them $17,000 a year so that they can have the joy of being yelled at, told they're on the take, criminals and whatever, and there are some bad apples down there. And I've written about the bad apples before, but a good friend of mine, Representative Stephen Allison out of Union County, and I had a conversation that changed my entire outlook on what I was doing as a blogger, because I knew him to be a man of true principle, not the one that wears it on his sleeve, but a man that walks the walk and talks the talk. And he and I had an impromptu, what turned into almost 2.5 hour discussion at the Capitol one day. It was the day after Sine Die. Everyone was going home, and the legislators were down there in casual clothes cleaning out their offices, and he asked me how they did, and I started being critical. And it was a year they had passed what they called sweeping ethics reform, and I was on a ethics reform kick, and I didn't think the bill went far enough. And so I said, well, other than that, I guess I'll give you a B minus, maybe a C, but with ethics reform, I can't remember if I told him it was a D or an F. And he wasn't real happy about that, and I knew him to be on my side of the ethics reform, and so I kind of challenged him. But the long story short was he started explaining that if I was always just against everything, and that if I couldn't figure out what I was for, then I was going to be part of the problem. And he didn't quite say it that way, but again, it was a 2.5 hour conversation. I'm trying to get in an 8-minute radio segment. But what I took away from that was something that he and I were on the same side, and I thought I was helping him because he was one of the ones that was willing to stand up and say that the code of ethics that the House had been and the Senate had been operating under were a little too loose, and that the ability to enforce it wasn't there. And they did make some steps in fixing that. But he also let me know that if it was just constantly negative, and if I was always writing without going down and talking to the people involved, and that we're actually in this, that I'd only have one side and it was an opinion being shaped by other opinions, but I wasn't getting the facts. And so I started going down to the Capitol, and I started talking to the people that I was writing bad things about. And I started talking to them not in a way to yell at them and tell them that they were horrible, horrible people, but I started actually trying to find out why they were doing what they were doing. I ask open-ended questions. One thing you'll find about anyone in life, whether they're a politician or just a common person on the street, if you ever go into sales training, they'll teach you to ask open-ended questions, meaning a question that's not yes or no, but a question designed to get someone talking. And if you ask a politician the right kind of open-ended questions, then you can listen carefully to their answers, and you're going to learn something about them and about the subject that you asked the question about. Sometimes you're going to learn that they're absolutely full of it, and they're prepared and going to give you soundbite answers that don't mean anything. But if they give you actual good answers to your open-ended questions, it broadens the discussion out, and it allows for a path where you can get common ground and understanding. And we don't do that in this party anymore. We basically start out with not just skepticism, which the press should have and any voter should have towards any elected official. Healthy skepticism is just that. It's healthy. But when you start beyond skepticism and start out, you have basically pronounced anyone guilty before that you give them the opportunity to even tell you what they think or why they're there. Why would anyone run for these offices? And so we're frankly, in the state legislature this cycle, we're losing a lot of the good guys that are down there. And I don't mean my establishment friends. I'm talking about the people that have gone down there to, frankly, try to change the system, that have only been down there a few years since the Tea Party. There's some that have been down there longer. But as a whole, we're losing some of the people that have been fighting for the stuff, that the people that keep talking about being anti-establishment, they fight them too. Because one of the things that we found, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Pat Toomey, all elected in the wave of Tea Party candidates, and there it took 3 years before the same quote-unquote leaders of the Tea Party started attacking them because they were having to make tough choices. And if the only name you heard in that is Marco Rubio and you're still thinking about immigration, set that aside. Pat Toomey was the original founder of the Club for Growth. He's a guy that has conservative credentials miles long. And I can't remember what the vote was, but we got to a point where people in the conservative media started deciding they were the ones that were more important than the electeds, and they were going to start dictating how people were going to vote. And so they started not even changing final votes to what matter, but they started creating procedural votes because they know that, like that caller we had in the last segment, I think her name was Penny, was saying she isn't smart enough to figure it out. I think Penny is a very smart person based on what she said, because she could figure out, she knew what she didn't know, but she learned enough to know that Donald Trump's a fraud. But what we have people that listen to talk radio, again, I said look in the mirror. We can be part of the problem or we can be part of the solution. Bloggers, same thing. Some of our party activists can be the same thing. But at the end of the day, you've got to have people that can not only run and win as conservatives, but we've got to let them do their job and not have people like us decide we're going to create new rules and ask them to jump through hoops for our own amusement, for our own ego, or so that we can show how powerful we are to demonstrate we're always more conservative than the people we elect. We're going to start there with one of the problems that the GOP is going to have to face if it's going to get out of this, and we're going to talk about others. We'll have more of the Sully Show. It's Charlie Harper sitting in for him while Sully's sick. 6:40 a.m. WGST. We'll be right back.